welcome to Hebsy on Sports, episode number 155, which means I'm only 395 podcasts behind Toronto Mike, who is the Cal Ripken of Canadian podcasters. Ladies and gentlemen, here he is. 550 podcasts. I got a ways to go to catch you. In honor of Mike's favorite hockey and basketball teams, we'll touch on the marvelous Toronto Raptors and the revitalized and very special Toronto Maple Leafs. As well, the fact that the Montreal Canadiens have lost eight in a row must make a Leaf fan feel extra special. And by the way, they put their backup goaltender on waivers. The Habs did. Didn't the Leafs do that a while ago? And then they brought him back. It hasn't worked out. Talk about that as well. A wild day in the National Football League yesterday. The weather had something to do with it. Baseball free agency has officially begun. Larry Walker getting some love, but will it be enough to get him into the Baseball Hall of Fame? And when is a hat trick really not a hat trick? Like, I mean, the guy scores three goals, but it's not a hat trick. We're sponsored by JerseyFactory.com. When the time comes to outfit your team in the coolest customized uniforms and other apparel, you got to go to JerseyFactory.com. That's one word, JerseyFactory.com. They've got everything your team needs. And as a bonus, they're real nice people. You want to do business with them. JerseyFactory.com. Before we get to the big story of the day, what a morning I had.
Oh, yeah. So let's explain to the people, why are we recording at 2:16 p.m. when we normally do it in the morning?
Right. Normally, we're at 9:20 in the morning. We try to set it up that Mondays and Friday mornings, I'm in here for 9:20. And you've got the, you know, the early, we do it the early part of the day. And then, of course, you could watch this particular, you could watch the Periscope edition of course, anytime. Or you can listen to the podcast anytime. But we do actually go live. And we're live, you know, I mean, I'm sure.
You can watch us record live.
Right. So today, you wanted us to go a little bit early. You had something to do. That's fine. So normally what I do is I walk about 10 minutes to the subway. I'm in downtown Toronto. I get on the subway at the Christie subway station on the number 2 line, the east-west line, the Bloor Danforth line. And then I go westbound about, I don't know, 9 or 10 stops. I get off at Islington, and then I take a bus, the 110C, which pretty much drops me off like almost right outside your door.
I was going to say, are you going to give away the address of this top-secret location?
No, but it pretty much drops me off. It's like a three-minute walk to your house from there. So this morning, I'm on the subway. We go one stop west from Christie is Ossington Station, and then the guy comes on. And always on the subway, it seems, they have the worst PA systems. Right? The worst PA system. So everyone's sitting in the car, you hear,
I got a fire. They don't say a fire. I got a problem at the Dundas West Station. Everyone's going to have to get off. It is at the Ossington.
So now what they do is, and this is in the middle of rush hour, it's 8 o'clock in the morning and it's snowing out and it's ugly outside. So everyone now has to get off the subway. Now this is in both directions. So this would be approaching the Dundas West Station if you were coming from the west end or approaching it from the east end. You get off a station before it.
Which is Keele.
It would be Keele on coming one way and the other way. They got us off at Ossington, which is a few stations around. Right. So now imagine this. Everybody comes up from the subway at the same time out onto the street to find a shuttle bus. You would hope. The only problem is that there are way more people that a subway can accommodate than a shuttle bus or a number of shuttle buses.
Right.
I don't know what the difference. I don't know what the capacity of an entire subway train is, but I would like to think it's probably somewhere in the neighborhood of 1,000.
I have no idea.
I would say it's about 1,000. Let's say it's 1,000.
Right.
And you cannot get 1,000 people on a shuttle bus. No. Believe me, you can't get 1,000 people on 10 shuttle buses. you really can't. So now everyone comes out of the subway station. And imagine this. You want to go into the Ossington subway station to go eastbound, right? Not westbound where the fire is.
Right.
You want to go eastbound.
Yeah,
downtown. But you want to get into the subway station. You can't because there are hundreds, maybe thousands of people coming out of the subway station because they can't go any further. They got to find shuttle buses. It's chaos. Absolute chaos. So what I did was, and this is really tricky. It's tricky and sneaky at the same time, but I don't care.
Right.
I don't care about the other commuters. I only care about me getting to where I want to go, which is to do my podcast.
Right.
So I kind of go around. I pick up the shuttle bus before it even gets to where it's supposed to go. I run the girl down. I'm the first one. She's pulling into the station as the shuttle bus, and I'm waving her down. And she's waving me, no, I can't stop. I'm going, stop, because I don't want to wait for another 1,000 people. I want to be the first one on.
Right.
So I slam, I bang it on the door, and so she opens the door to let me in.
Wow.
Which was really nice of her. But as that door opens, other people are coming out where I came out.
Bad move on her part.
And now everyone's streaming into this bus. Now, the reason I did this is because I thought I would never have gotten out of the subway station, the actual subway station onto the street, because some people are trying to get in, and others are trying to get out, and it literally is human gridlock in there.
It sounds horrible.
Horrible. So we get on, we get on the shuttle bus, and now it's really cramped. Like, there's more people than should be in there, and they're really pressed. It's like the Tokyo subway. Like, there should be someone prodding, like, right. poking you with a pole
right.
to make you get closer. And I'm not claustrophobic, but after a while of being really, really close to a bunch of people,
yeah.
and the whole place fogging up and us not moving on Bloor Street because there's all kinds of vehicular traffic, I want to get off. Like, I got to get off.
Right.
So we have to wait. So now finally we get to the Kiel subway station. So they had said, you're going to take a shuttle bus from Ossington to Kiel. Everyone's going to get off at Kiel, and then you can get back on the subway to go westbound.
Right.
Great. So now we get to Kiel, and everybody's like, come on, let us out of the bus, right? We've had it. And the bus driver goes, oh, I don't think the Kiel subway's open yet.
Wow.
So everyone's going, what do you mean? That's what we were told. So this driver doesn't have a two-way radio. She has no communication with TTC Central.
Right? She doesn't have a cell phone?
Maybe she does. But she's like, I don't know, maybe it's my first day on the job. I don't know, whatever it was.
Right.
There's very angry people are on this. We've been sitting for, I don't know how long, a half an hour on this bus.
Right.
Hardly moving. And now finally we get to the Kiel subway station and everyone's got to get to where they got to go.
Right.
And we were told, get on the shuttle bus, get back on at Kiel on the subway, and then you can take the subway. So this girl doesn't know. She's not sure. And people are banging on the door. Meanwhile, she stops the bus at the corner of Kiel and Bloor. Doesn't pull into the subway station. And now, as soon as she stops, she opens the doors and these people come flooding on this bus because they're pretty sure that this is the bus they need to take if they want to continue going west. Right. So as soon as they come on the bus, everyone figures, oh, I guess the subway isn't working. But I want to get off. I just want to get out of this.
Yeah, you've had it.
I've had it. And I'm not going to make it for our podcast, right? And it's just utter chaos. And there's yelling and screaming and people are pushing their way on and other people are pushing their way off. And I said, I got to get out of here. So I'm a pretty big guy too. I'm about 6'3", close to 200 pounds. And I'm like, I don't care anymore. I'm just as long as I don't knock over any pregnant ladies.
You're like
ladies,
George Costanza.
Yeah, as long as I don't knock over any pregnant ladies or kids, I'm okay.
Right.
So I'm moving people aside. I'm elbowing people in the ribs. I'm like, I need to get out. And no one's moving. So finally, I pretend that I'm having a panic attack.
You faked it.
I pretty much faked it. I said, I gotta get out. I'm screaming.
Medical emergency.
These are strangers and I don't care. I need to get out. So I'm literally pushing, I gotta get out, please. And I get out of the bus and I walk about 20 feet and I take a photo of what I had just gotten off of. And I see people are struggling. They're pushing back and forth. People are trying to get out. People are trying to get in. And this is going on the whole street. I look up the street, Mike. I look eastbound on Bloor and there are 20 shuttle buses. 20. Waiting in line, all filled with people who can't get off the shuttle bus. They're not sure if the subway's working or not. It was madness. So I went home, then I went and did some audiobooks to narrate, and then now I'm back here. And
you did some work, and now you're here.
I
feel better. I had to work at Bay and Front, and it was a no-brainer. I put snow tires on the bicycle, and I rode, and it was
snow
perfect.
Tires on the bike.
I'm so glad.
Are you allowed to have studded tires on Ontario roads?
On a bicycle? Yes, sir.
You are, eh?
Yes. It's not a car.
Okay, let's get to the big story of the day. This is the aftermath of the Bill Peters resignation, which as many of us, we figured he'd be fired. He resigned. I guess they gave him the opportunity to resign. So this was from the Calgary Flames. And then the subsequent discussions on various hockey shows that went on over the course of the weekend and where we're at now with this story. He's gone. He's resigned. We don't know the details, how much he's going to get paid off or anything like that. But we do know that after the incident was announced, a lot of people came forward with their particular stories about Bill Peters, about what happened when he was in Carolina, when he was with the Chicago Blackhawks affiliate in Rockford, Illinois, where this incident happened. And of course, with the Calgary Flames. Who probably are the least culpable of all, right? Like like a lot of the stuff that went on, all the stuff that allegedly went on, did go on, did not go on while he was a coach of the Calgary Flames. Anyway, so I usually watch CTV National News. I've been a viewer for, I don't know, as long as I can remember, Harvey Kirk back in the day, Lloyd Robertson for years, Lisa LaFlamme, and on the weekends it's been Sandy Rinaldo for as long as I can remember. This is the Canada's most trusted news voice. I mean, their motto is like Canada's most trusted news voice.
It's Canada's most watched.
Most watched.
I don't know about trusted, but it's most watched.
Okay. All right. So I'm thinking, okay, I got to tune in. I got to tune in CTV's national news to see how they're presenting this particular story. So this is Saturday night. So remember, it happened early in the week. And then there were some other announcements. And then some other people said something. And then Saturday during the day, Ron Francis released a statement as to where he stood on all this. He was the GM of the Carolina Hurricanes. So anyway, it's Sandy Rinaldo, right? And she's reading the story. I guess, let me back up a bit. Wednesday, which was the 27th of November, Seattle Times writer Jeff Baker, upon hearing of Bill Peters' physical abuse of players when he was with Carolina, spoke to Peter Karmanos, the principal owner of the Hurricanes at the time. Karmanos said that he would have fired Bill Peters in a nanosecond had his then general manager Ron Francis made him aware of the physical abuse allegations being levied by players. Remember that, Mike?
Yes.
Okay. So for 4 days, nobody had gotten a response from Ron Francis, who is now the GM of the new Seattle franchise in the NHL, which begins play in the fall of 2021. Now, also during the week, Canes coach Rod Brind'Amour, who was Peters' assistant coach at the time of the incidents, confirmed that Peters had physically abused two players on the Hurricanes and that management had been notified and that it had been dealt with. So that's where we were on Saturday when Francis finally responded with a written statement released to the media. And that Saturday night, I watched CTV National News with anchor Sandy Rinaldo, who reported on the story. Here's a clip from the newscast.
One day after Bill Peters quit as head coach of the Calgary Flames amid accusations of racism, a statement from Ron Francis. He was the former general manager of the Carolina Hurricanes and Peters' boss when Peters coached the team. Francis admits he was made aware of physical incidents involving Peters and two players. Francis writes, "I took this matter very seriously. I took immediate action to address the matter and briefed ownership. To my knowledge, no further such incidents occurred."
Okay, that was the end of the news report. She goes on to say, "And tonight the Flames are playing at home and they won their first game under their new coach, Jeff Ward, blah, blah, blah." So that was it. CTV National News basically read the statement that was released by Ron Francis. And that's it. One side of the story. Now, Mike, did you notice anything missing from that? Now, this is a news story that's supposed to be a balanced story by CTV National News. Did you find it odd that...
I know what's missing. The owner at the time, anyways, was his name Peter Karmanos?
Karmanos, yeah.
Karmanos. His statement was not referenced on CTV.
What if I told you that Canadian press... wrote a story that day that mentioned the Francis statement, but also did not mention the comments of Peter Karmanos from 4 days earlier, saying that he had not been informed of Peter's transgressions. And had he would have fired him in a nanosecond. So Canadian press and CTV National News basically read the statement from Ron Francis, and that was their story. That was it. This is CTV.
Is that just lazy?
National
what is that? Tell
news.
Me.
Yeah. No mention of Brind'Amour's statement. Like, you want context. You want a balanced story. That's called journalism. Journalism. In fact, I think the first class that you ever take in Journalism 101 is to provide a balanced, unbiased story. CTV National News. All they had to say was, in fact, I could have written that for Sandy Rinaldo. The producer of CTV News should have said, "Okay, Sandy, so there's your copy. And then at the end of it, here's how you tag it. You tag it by saying this. Former owner of Carolina, Peter Karmanos, said that had he been informed by Ron Francis, he would have fired Bill Peters in a nanosecond." There's your balance. There's Francis's statement, which is contradictory to what the owner of the Carolina Hurricanes at the time, Peter Karmanos, said. And you could have added by saying assistant coach Rod Brind'Amour, who's now the head coach of Carolina, confirmed that there was physical abuse between Bill Peters and the players. Whether that had been directed towards Karmanos, according to the owner, no, he had never heard of it. So somebody's lying here. Now, I know it's not CTV News' place to say somebody's lying, but geez, present the story at least in such a manner. CBC, I think, would have done a better job. Global would have done. I mean, this is CTV National News. Why bother putting the story on the air unless you're going to give us a balanced, unbiased account?
Do you think it's because it was the weekend staff and the veteran producers all are at home with their families?
I'm pretty sure somebody from CTV National News listens to this podcast. I didn't hear anyone else, but to me, that's shoddy journalism. If you're going to look, if you're going to run the story, run a story. But if you don't have a story, then don't. Now, they had a story. Any idiot knew that Peter Karmanos had said he had never heard it, which contradicted what Ron Francis said. It took 4 days for Ron Francis to make a statement, right? And in the interim, Rod Brindamore said, yeah, this happened, and we went to management, and we thought it had been dealt with. So there's some serious lying going on here. So I want to know what the hell's going on. So do us a favor. Sometime this week, CTV National News, do a follow-up. Do actually go and find out who's lying. Like, go get someone to confront Karmanos or confront Ron Francis and say, well, that's not what he said. He said that he was informed. And you say you weren't informed. So someone's lying here. So what the hell is going on? So the investigation continues.
Stay on this, Hebsy. Police the police.
CTV National News. I'm going to watch tonight with Lisa LaFlamme and see, maybe she's got a story. Maybe they got a follow-up story. The Toronto Raptors led by 40 points at halftime.
Wow.
Ended up beating the Utah Jazz by 20 last night. 130 to 110 at the Scotiabank Arena. The Raptors are now 15-4 on the season, and they're 9-0 at home. Mike, did you know that among Milwaukee, Toronto, Miami, Boston, and Philadelphia, only one of those teams has lost a home game? Out of those five teams, only one of them has lost a home game.
Wow.
Milwaukee. Everybody else is unbeaten at home. Milwaukee's 8-1. Everyone else. Do you know how many teams in the Western Conference are unbeaten at home?
Zero.
None. That's right. The Clippers are 11-1. They're the Clippers won again last night. Like, Kawhi had 34 points last night. Siakam had 35, but Kawhi did it in like 26 minutes. Boy, the Clippers are good. They're really good. I don't know if they're as good as the Raptors, though. I think I'd kind of like to see that when Kawhi finally comes to town. I think that would be very, very
exciting. You were going to say that it should be the NBA final. I was all in.
Well, that would be great, too. Let's not count our chickens, but I can see that happening. And I believe I was the one. Everyone else was like, oh, the Raptors might finish seventh, maybe sixth. And
yeah, I was fifth.
I think I was the one who said third. They're going to be in the top tier.
But I told you last time, I've come around on this team. Yeah. My eyes tell me what's happening, and it's unbelievable. Please continue.
Yeah, I'm convinced we can win the East and win it all this year. I'm convinced. My only concern is they're too good now. Like, settle down. Maybe lose a game. You know, be human. Search.
Lowry's still out.
I know. And Ibaka came back last night after missing 10 games. Lowry back, not as fast as he'd liked. He's finally getting some contact in with his thumb. It hasn't healed as quickly as he had hoped. But take your time. Fred VanVleet's doing fine. Norm Powell's doing fine. The team's playing confident. I would say sassy basketball. They're playing sassy. And their defense has been outstanding, although yesterday with a 40-point lead, they kind of went to sleep for a while and allowed Utah to cut the lead down to, I think, about 17. But if you're up by 40, are you feeling maybe a little bit of, well, we don't want to rub it in too much?
Well, did you mention
we don't
that
let
was
them
a
back in the game.
Franchise record? That was our greatest lead at halftime ever?
That means 40? But that means nothing.
Yeah, it means something.
No, it means nothing. No, it means nothing.
It means that this is an unprecedented halftime lead for this franchise.
But a halftime lead doesn't mean anything.
So you can sleep on the third quarter is what I'm saying.
But I'm just saying. I mean, you know, it's great that it's the most points that they've ever scored in a half and the biggest lead, but that to me it's a nothing figure. It's like, okay.
But it explains a third quarter letdown.
I guess so.
Which I believe is the most points we surrendered in a quarter. I don't know.
It doesn't matter. You're up by 40 at the half, for crying out loud. The outcome, how about this? The outcome was never in doubt. Is that right?
There was a moment when it got to 16 where I was worried.
You were worried, were you? Yeah, when it was a six possession game, you got worried.
Right.
Pascal Siakam, who shot just 4 of 22 in the victory over Orlando Friday, was 14 of 22 yesterday, including 5 of 9 from distance for 35 points. He is so much fun to watch. He's great. Would you say he's a top 10 player in the league?
My son and I had this exact debate, and I said, I believe he is now, and my son said he is not.
Who would your son put ahead of him? Then?
I'll have to consult him and get back to you.
You do that. Okay. Eight different Raptors scored in double figures yesterday as we scored 130 against Utah. The Raptors get the Miami Heat tomorrow night at the SBA. They're a very good team. Should be a good game. By the way, the Raptors had their streak of consecutive home sellouts snapped at 245 last night.
Surprise.
Because of the weather.
Yeah, okay.
Because of the weather. Because you got no walk-up crowd. 18,132 on an ugly, icy evening in Toronto. The streak began November 11th, 2004, against Orlando. Not bad. Do you think the Raptors will ever get the love they deserve from ESPN and those other American media giants who ignore the heck out of them?
Well, I'm glad you're bringing this up.
They just so ignore. And we, look, as Canadians, we get upset if we don't get what we think is the proper recognition from our American friends. We just don't. You fucking Americans. But we don't mean that all of you are. We just mean the ones who are responsible for telling other Americans about the good basketball teams out there, about the teams you should keep an eye out for and stuff like that. And every time that they ignore the Raptors, we get upset, and justifiably so. You bastards, who gives a shit about James Harden and Houston all the time? What about the defending champions over there? What about Siakam and OG and Chris Boucher and Norm Powell and Van Vliet and all those, and Marcus Gasol, Ibaka? Am I missing anybody?
I was going to say,
Nick Nurse is going to be coach of the year. Oh, we don't care about them. They're from north of the border. Their dollar isn't worth anywhere near ours is.
I was going to bring this up because there's more, you know, outrage today that in some power ranking that we're not getting our due. But why I care as much about this as I do about getting a Christmas game. I never cared if we got a Christmas game. Like, what do you care if we get a Christmas game? Nice. A lot of rap fans felt slighted. Like, why don't we get a Christmas game? I don't care if we get a Christmas game. I don't care if we're ever in the power rankings. Right. I know we got a ring. I didn't get a ring. Did you get a ring? We should have got rings. But we got a banner that's in the rafters, and we're gunning for a second one, and that's
where's
what our, I care
where's
about.
Where's our Raptors banner here? What happened here?
Oh, my God. Oh, it's because we're off our normal schedule okay. here.
But it's almost like this. Like, if let's say ESPN wrote this big story about Toronto being number one in the power rankings, everybody here would be like, "Oh, look what ESPN said about us! Oh, they're mentioning Toronto! Ooh, we get so fucking excited when the Americans mention Toronto. Toronto's a lovely place. Hey, look what they're saying about us in the United States. It's like we're like Sally Field at the Academy Awards. You love us. You really love us.
It's a bit embarrassing.
Who gives a shit? I don't care." I care about my team, my city. I don't care if the American networks, are like paying attention to us or not.
We know it's a great city. We know this is a hell of a ball team.
No difference to me.
I want to go back to the tapes. When the decision was made to promote assistant coach Nick Nurse to head coaching position, what was your take? What was your initial take on that?
Oh, I liked it. I thought it was a great idea.
So right off the bat, you loved it.
Yeah, I did. And here's why. I don't like the idea. I never did like the idea of let's get that coach there who just got fired and bring him over to us. If the guy just got fired, and I said this about Babcock too. If the guy had been fired before, what makes you think that he's such a great coach? Right? Now, a guy like Joe Maddon in baseball, he didn't get fired. His contract ended with Tampa and the Cubs jumped on him and won a World Series.
Right.
Now he's out. But anyway,
were you A-OK with totally. Canning Dwayne Casey?
Oh, yeah. You know I was. You know I didn't like.
I just
like,
want to give
you
only because you know I wasn't sure.
Like, you know from the time that when they played Cleveland, and Cleveland had just played a tough 7-game series against Indiana, and I said in game one in Toronto, they got to run Cleveland out of the building because Cleveland was dead tired, and even LeBron admitted after the game, we were dead. They played a tough 7-game series against Indiana. I think they had a half a day of rest. They had to come in. Toronto was rested, and I said, Dwayne Casey has got to run. And when he didn't, and they lost that game, I said so. I said, they're going to lose the series. And it came down to this. Dwayne Casey is a very, very good coach during the regular season. Dwayne Casey is not a good coach when it comes to trying to win 4 games from another team in a span of whatever, 8-10 days. He's not. And Mike Babcock was the same. Mike Babcock, great during the regular, fabulous 82-game coach. Does he know how to coach a team to victory in the playoffs? Can he coach it? And it's a totally different animal. It's none of this, I got to rest this guy here and I got to shifting. You play, you've got to know how to prepare a team to win a 7-game series. Dwayne Casey could not do that.
So Sheldon Keefe is a Nick Nurse is what I'm hearing right now.
Well, pretty much.
I'm hoping so.
Well, yeah. He's had success at every level that he's coached at. Nick Nurse was the same. Now, when you're an assistant, obviously, you're not, I mean, and not a head coach, but if you know the system and you understand what the head coach was trying to do, you're going to impart your wisdom and your knowledge, and you're also going to avoid the mistakes that your former boss made. So what Nick Nurse did was, and he had a better team anyway, he had Kawhi, which is nice. It's nice to be a rookie coach and you got Kawhi Leonard.
Right.
That helps. But I mean, he had his team prepared well. And the Raptors also, did they not always lose the first game of a playoff series? So I mean, even more so. When you're down 1-0 in the series, you better be a pretty good coach because, guys, I got to win. I still got to win 4 games with you guys. So he proved that. The Toronto Maple Leafs, and I had said, should take 3 out of 4 points from Buffalo in their 2 weekend games, the Friday, Saturday. Well,
We didn't.
We took 2, and they took 3.
Right.
All right? We lost in Buffalo, and then we beat them in overtime, thanks to Freddie Anderson, because Leafs had no business winning that game in overtime Saturday. No business! They allowed Buffalo to take 3 points from them. They can't let that happen if they want to be considered a contender. If it weren't for Freddie Anderson, they would have been swept by the Sabres in the home and home, and then you would have heard some real shit hit the fan. The Great Dane was fabulous. His stellar work allowed John Tavares to score the overtime winner on Saturday. What the Leafs really need, though, is a good backup goaltender. Today, the Montreal Canadiens, who have lost 8 in a row, 0-5-3. So three of them were overtime losses. But that's loss. That's a loss. That's 8 straight.
Don't get me started on the loser point.
Straight, okay? So they waived their backup goaltender, Keith Kincaid. They haven't announced who the backup is going to be to Carey Price. But again, you can't play Carey Price every game, although the Habs really need to. And even yesterday, he couldn't against Boston. Habs were leading 1-0 after two periods. They gave up 3 goals in the third to the Bruins. 8 straight. Claude Julien on the hot seat. What else is new in Montreal? And, you know, Leaf fans, kind of, they like it. They enjoy seeing the Habs suffer. All those years when Hab fans went, oh, how's your team doing? So it's a better feeling. But I've maintained all along that the Leafs have to get a good backup goalie. And by that, I mean a veteran, not a kid, not some guy that's got no experience. A veteran guy like Brian Elliott of the Flyers. Carter Hart is their number one. Brian Elliott is the backup. Solid. Cam Ward of Calgary is their backup to David Rittich. He would be great as well. Get a veteran backup goaltender that's used to being a backup that understands the role. All right? And Montreal now is in the market for a backup goaltender. There's a few teams out there, but see if you can make the deal if you're Kyle Dubas. That would be great.
Yeah, it would be great. In the meantime, can we play back-to-backs with Freddie? Why can't we play this next back-to-back with
Freddie? Don't ask Freddie me. Anderson. Ask the new coach. Ask the new coach. Babcock, of course, would never do that. But, I mean, in some circumstances, you might have to play Freddie back-to-back.
Yeah, once in a strategic blue moon.
Every point is important now because the Leafs are sort of hanging on to that playoff spot. Thank God Montreal is failing. Thank God. You know, Florida's not that great a team. Buffalo, I'm pretty sure the Leafs are a better team than Buffalo. The other thing I heard that was really interesting was when Mike Babcock got fired, which was after they played in Las Vegas, John Tavares took a flight home. He had a personal day to take. So in the interim between Vegas and Phoenix, Tavares went home. When he flew back to Phoenix, guess who he was on the flight with? His new coach.
Keith.
Yeah. And so that flight's about a 3.5-hour flight. They spent the entire flight talking about
it. Was that by design?
I don't think so. I don't believe it was. Tavares, I knew, had to take a personal day.
All these GMs are playing checkers. Shanahan, he's the president's playing chess.
No. He had to take a personal day, and then on the flight back, he was with Keefe, and they had a long discussion. And Jack Capuano, who's an assistant on DJ Smith's staff in Ottawa, was the coach of the Islanders when Tavares was captain there. And he said he was the same with Tavares. They would have these long chats, and they didn't always agree. And there'd be some heated words. But at the end of it all, you know, they agreed to disagree, or they shook hands, and they came up with it. And that's exactly the type of relationship Sheldon Keefe needs to have with John Tavares, because Tavares has been there now. Keefe is just arriving, and he needs to have a relationship with his captain, a strong one.
So our correspondent, Tyler Campbell, says that Keefe has announced that Freddie's playing tomorrow, so Wednesday.
Right.
I don't know if you were aware of that breaking news. It's one of the advantages of going at 2 o'clock. You know?
Well,
okay.
Well, no, I was aware of it simply because...
Well, you know, he doesn't have to. We didn't know which one would go first if he was breaking them up. Like, he could have had... anyways, I'm passing it on. That's all. You take it for what it's worth.
I appreciate it. So Freddie's going to play back-to-back? Is that what you're telling me?
I didn't say that.
What did you say?
And he's that day. I don't know. My news is, so the game one of the back-to-back is going to... Is he playing the whole back-to-back? Oh, so he is playing both. Okay, so there's your news. There's something we didn't know that's important. We're going to see Freddie Anderson and net for starting both games.
Excellent. I hope the Leafs can find a way to give up a fourth liner and a draft pick for a veteran backup goaltender so Freddie doesn't have to always play back-to-back games because they're afraid to play the backup. Word now from our sponsor, jerseyfactory.com. They make really terrific customized, personalized apparel for all sports. They're based in Toronto. They do all their work in their own factory instead of outsourcing. So, you know, even though it's December now, and I mean, the hockey season is well underway, teams have already been outfitted. By next spring, when softball and baseball starts and soccer season starts, you're going to want to get your team outfitted with the best possible apparel, the customized stuff, the warm-up gear, the jerseys, the pants, the coach's gear, the team swag. All that stuff can be customized to your liking by jerseyfactory.com. They ship anywhere in North America. Their design team is outstanding. They can make your custom jerseys look like the pros. And you know what they say, play like a pro, look like a pro. So whether it's house league, rep league, school sports, corporate events, team building events, go to the pros. Check out jerseyfactory.com and order your team's apparel and use the promo code Hebsy, and you can receive up to 10, not you can receive, you will.
You will.
You will receive 10% off any order over $1,000. So And I think I told you the story. No, in fact, I did tell you the story of the year that we had horrible, ugly orange jerseys. And we felt, we didn't feel like winners. And we saw the teams that were outfitted with really cool outfits, you know, and, you know, like pro logos and stuff like that. Great color combinations. And they looked like winners. They looked like, and they were.
Right.
You know, it's, who is it that said, you know, it's better to look good than to feel good.
Oh, I think that was Don Cherry.
All right. Get your team looking better and playing better. Go to jerseyfactory.com. And they're real nice people, too. So check them out. A wild Sunday in the NFL saw the Baltimore Ravens beat the San Francisco 49ers thanks to a 49-yard field goal by Justin Tucker as time expired. Listen to this stat. Justin Tucker has hit 38 consecutive fourth-quarter field goals.
Money.
38 in a row in the fourth quarter. That is money. He's got 14 game-winning field goals in his career, and yesterday's, with no time remaining, was a dagger to the 49ers as the Ravens prevailed 20-17. Both teams now 10-2, and some are saying it could be a Super Bowl preview. And you know what? I wouldn't mind seeing that at all. The San Francisco 49ers with Jimmy Garoppolo and Lamar Jackson, the sensational, exciting, electrifying Lamar Jackson at quarterback for the Baltimore Ravens. Pretty exciting stuff on a sloppy, ugly, horrible, terrible day. Meanwhile, the Cincinnati Bengals won their first game of the season after 11 straight losses. The Bengals beat the Jets 22-6, their first win in 350 days.
Wow.
But who's counting? Also, the Miami Dolphins beat the Philadelphia Eagles 37-31, thanks in part to a crazy touchdown in which the holder, the guy who holds for field goals, he's also the punter, Matt Hack, from a weird formation. He's standing behind the center. It's just the center and him. It looked like flag football. It looked like one of those ones with touch football. You say, okay, you go all the way out there, and you guys go there, and then you just take the snap from the center, and all the center has to do is block like one guy, right? One steamboat, two steamboats.
Right.
So Matt Hack takes the snap from center. Half the team is way over there, and the other half the team's way over there, but the punter, right? The field goal kicker is like lined up like in a slot. Like, but who's going to cover the field goal kicker? His name's Jason Sanders, the guy who kicks the extra point. Nobody. So what happens is Hack takes the snap, he rolls a bit to his left, and then he throws one of those shovel passes to the kicker, Jason Sanders, for the touchdown.
Wow.
Wild play, and it was a key play in the game as the Dolphins win 37-31. That's the most points scored by a Miami Dolphins team since week 7 of the 2015 season. A long time coming. The fish. Elsewhere, New England was taken out by the Houston Texans 28-22. Do you know that the Patriots are 10-2 now? They're just one game up on the Buffalo Bills. Patriots owner Robert Kraft is so wealthy. How wealthy is he?
How wealthy is he?
He owns not one, but two Boeing 767s, which comes in handy when your team is sick, when 12 players on your team are sick. So what he did was he flew both 767s to Houston from New England, one of them with the healthy players, and the other,
wow.
And they want the second one with the sick players.
Wow.
Nine players yesterday.
I would have put up a heavy curtain or something.
It doesn't work. An illness swept through the team. Is it my imagination, Mike, or are there more people sick at this time of year than usual? Like everybody I know.
It was a bad flu season in Australia, which is like.
But not flu. I know people that have had the flu shots that are getting a runny nose and horking all over the place, and that people have just been sick.
Oh, I feel great.
Oh, I do too. I do too. But I'm just saying a lot of people I know just have been under the weather. Here's a good story for you. Dateline Detroit, Michigan. Alex Ovechkin had a hat trick against Detroit on Saturday night. After the game, he quote, a hat trick is a hat trick. It doesn't matter how you get them. Now, why would he say that, Mike? Why would he say a hat trick's a hat trick? It doesn't matter.
I'm guessing he must have had an empty netter in there.
Maybe two empty netters.
Two empty netters.
Yes, Mike.
But he's right.
Here's what I say.
Okay, let's hear it.
I say when a guy gets two goals, okay, he's got two goals and a coach puts him out there with an empty net because he's on a hat trick. You got two goals.
Right.
Put Boone out there. He's on a hat trick.
Right.
Your teammates are going to feed you to score the empty net goal to get the hat trick.
Correct.
Happens a lot. Okay? The coach looks down the bench. Net's empty. He looks down the bench. Anybody got two goals here? Ovechkin, get out there. But what happens when a guy scores a goal in the game? He's got one goal. And then with 3 minutes to go, the opposing coach, in this case Detroit, says, let's pull the goalie. You throw Alex out there. He gets an empty net goal. Now he's got two. Now they leave the net empty. Now the coach says, stay out there. So he's got two empty net goals. So here's what I'm thinking.
Right.
All the guys who had hat tricks in the history of the NHL, not just in the NHL, any guy that's had a legit hat trick where he scored three goals, okay, and a goalie has been in net for all three goals. Well, I don't know what the percentage of all hat tricks is, But I would got to believe that most guys that score hat tricks, most score three goals.
Vast majority.
Legit. Score three goals with a goalie in. Yes. Now, in the occasion where the guy's got two goals and the coach says, get on out there to get your hat trick, okay? I get that. But I don't know if I can I don't know if I can honestly look at a guy like Ovi in that case and go, that was a hat trick by Ovi. I would say Alexander Ovechkin scored three goals last night, two of them into an empty net to lead the Washington Capitals over
Hebsy.
But Hebsy. I don't think I can honestly say, like, if he comes up for contract negotiation, he goes, well, I had this many hat tricks. The owners could say, well, not really, Alex. That one game there, you scored two empty net goals. I wouldn't consider that to be a hat trick. So I'm gonna go out on a limb and say, I cannot give Alexander Ovechkin the hat trick designation because it cheapens the real hat tricks that everybody else scored before him.
Hebsy, who are you? The hat trick police? Is that who you've become here? A hat trick? Ovechkin's right. A hat trick is a hat trick is a hat trick.
No.
Three goals. What, if one goals was an own goal?
Three goals is three goals. But a hat trick, to me, the expression hat trick means that you scored three legitimate goals. That you can walk around proudly and go, I had a hat trick. And I can tell you this right now, if two of them were empty net goals, I wouldn't be walking around going, I had a hat trick, because someone would go, yeah, two of them into an empty net. One into an empty net, I'm okay with.
Who is the home team for this game?
Detroit.
Okay, never mind my next question.
I
was going to ask if they do. They still throw the hats if you get two empty netters for the hat trick. Because I bet you they do.
I don't know. That's
they do.
Point.
Of course they do. You know why? Because a hat trick is a hat trick.
No. It cheapens the real. It cheapens those who scored a real hat trick. It cheapens it.
But Hebsy,
it cheapens
what if
the hat trick club.
But one empty netter is okay with you. It's the two you don't like.
Yeah, one I can go with. And remember, I'm the same guy that says that you shouldn't be awarding a second assist on an empty net goal.
Right.
The first assist I get.
Right.
But don't give me, you had 50 assists last year. Yeah, but four of them were on the second assist on an empty net goal. It's just a cheap stat. It's just cheap. So Ovechkin scored his 20th goal. By the way, it was his 20th goal of the year, an empty netter. 15 consecutive seasons. So he scored 20 goals for the 15th consecutive season to start his career. So
wow.
In the first 15 years of his career, 20 goals or more every year. Do you know the other players that have performed that feat?
I have a guess.
Four other players in NHL history have scored 20 goals or more in their first 15 NHL seasons.
I would guess Mike Bossy.
Mike Bossy is incorrect.
Oh, I'm already terrible. Gartner.
Mike Gartner is correct. That's okay. One.
Gretzky?
No. That was too easy. Come on.
I had to go for it. Okay, tell me.
Marcel Dion?
Oh, right, yeah.
Jaromir Jagr?
Oh.
And I can't believe you missed out on Mats Sundin.
Oh, I did. I never would have guessed that. Do you know that?
You never would have guessed that Mats Sundin had 20 goals or more in his first 15 seasons?
I just wouldn't have guessed that.
Well, guess what? It did. And by the way, Ovechkin's hat trick, which wasn't really a hat trick, but Ovechkin now has 24 three-goal games in his history. He just passed Jari Kurri for 10th on the NHL's career list. Jari Kurri never had two empty net goals in a game that was part of a hat trick. So if I'm Jari Kurri, I'm pissed. I am pissed at the NHL.
Did you do that research?
And I'm pissed, at Ovechkin, because Jari Kurri legit. He's like, wait a minute. He passed me with two empty net goals to get his hat trick?
Has anyone got a hat trick of all three being empty net goals?
I don't think so. I don't believe so.
Might have happened once.
I don't believe so. Don't believe so. But it'd be a good one to look up. You go ahead and look at that one. Free agency has begun in baseball. It's a weird time of the year because there's non-tendering free agency. There's actual free agency. You got a chance to sign your own free agents. There's all that kind of stuff going on. Here's what's going on with the Jays. They have to tender contracts tonight by 8 p.m. to some key players. All right. One is Ken Giles at $8.4 million, which is a given. I mean, this guy's worth way more than that. That's a given. The other one I'm thinking of is Matt Shoemaker, who was pitching really well for the first few games before he tore his knee because he got involved in a rundown, which he shouldn't do anyway. And he's at $3.8 million. But so I'm pretty sure the Jays are going to tender contracts to these two guys. But as well, over and above that, are they going to enter the free agent market? And the answer, of course, is not for the big guys. They're not going to go after Strasburg or Garrett Cole or these guys or Anthony Rendon. They're not going to. It's way too much money. But there are some other guys that could be very interesting. Now, Ross Atkins, the general manager, will likely not make a big splash signing the big name, but will probably go after a mid-range guy. I'm thinking like right-hander Zach Wheeler of the Mets. 29 years old, 11-8 last year, 3.96 ERA, 195 strikeouts and 195 innings. He'll likely cost $100 million for 5 years. And if the Jays could get a guy like that, he could anchor your rotation, which will also feature Trent Thornton. And I don't know who else is going to be in that starting rotation. Ryan Brooke, he didn't pitch at all last year, bad elbow. He was penciled in for the 2019 rotation. There's just a bunch of other guys. You're just not sure.
And Zach Wheeler is a cool name.
Zach Wheeler right? is a cool name. It definitely is a cool name.
Can we call him Wheels?
Yeah, oh yeah, for sure you can. So you would have that guy if you were to sign him, and we're getting ahead of ourselves. But really, Trent Thornton is really the only guy that you've got penciled in that's going to be a legit starter on that team. So I'm thinking there are other free agents out there. You got guys like Michael Pineda, Tanner Roark, Rick Porcello, Andrew Cashner, all available probably in the neighborhood of, I'm going to say, $12 million a year to $20 million a year, depending on what the market will bear. The one thing about Wheeler, his health, he's had Tommy John surgery. The Jays would be taking a pretty big risk, especially if it's $100 million. Or they could just kind of say, you know what, we're going to lose a lot of games again this year. We need another year for our players to develop. We're not going to spend that much. We're going to get a couple of guys to plug in, but don't expect a big run from us in the American League East. So we're not going to spend all that money. Maybe the next year, maybe 2021, when there are other big names available in free agency, will they go after some big names? The big problem, there's two problems they have besides pitching, is first base and the outfield. At first base, Jays could re-sign Justin Smoke. They could do it, you know. They could bring back Edwin Encarnacion, which I wouldn't like to see, or another free agent. Or they could just hand the job to Rowdy Tellez.
What would you like them to do?
I think, you know what, hand the job to Rowdy Tellez. Let him determine this season if he is a legit first baseman on this team, or if he's like that kind of first baseman / DH and you got to get somebody else and it's a platoon situation. But give him the job.
I don't think any fans want Edwin back at this point in his career.
Well, there's three or four, but that's about it.
My mom, maybe.
No, anyone that has an Edwin Encarnacion jersey. Anyone that's
got more than three or four.
Well, there's lots of people that have an Edwin Encarnacion jersey that hope he comes back so they can bring the jersey back.
There it goes.
Right. Now, the outfield is wide open on this team. You got seven outfielders on the 40-man roster. If the regular season began today, you'd have Lourdes Gurriel Jr. in left, Randall Grichuk in right, and Teoscar Hernandez in center. I don't know about that. The Jays would also have Derek Fisher, Jonathan Davis, Anthony Alfred, Billy McKinney. Not really crazy about any of those guys. They got rid of Kevin Pillar last year. Outfield could be an issue for this team. There are some free agent outfielders out there. Nobody that I'm that excited about. Might be another year where we're really going to have to struggle.
And hope
that these young players develop at the major league level.
With the snow and slush outside and the cold weather, it just feels warm that we're talking Blue Jays. I don't remember the last episode of Hebsy on Sports when we talked Jays.
No, it feels good. Well, we normally don't. Once the season's over and they've given, and then the MVP award and the Rookie of the Year and the Cy Young announcements are always made like a week after the World Series. After that, there's that lull until free agency begins, which is December the 1st.
So now, November came. I don't think there's any Jays talking.
No. And now that December's here, now we got to talk because, you know, spring training starts in, I don't know how many days it is, but it's like February 16th or something like that, which isn't that far away. And people start jonesing. Mm-hmm. And the Major League Baseball Network is showing like all 10 editions of Ken Burns's baseball documentary just to get you warmed up for baseball season.
Nice.
And you know what I do is I'm a baseball nut. So I watch the Dominican League games.
Do you?
Yeah, I watch them on stream. I watch them streaming. It's the best. And the other thing is you don't need, I mean, I'd love to have, you know, Buck Martinez or Dan Schulman or whatever doing the games, but baseball, any sport, for example, I could watch, I could listen to another language. It doesn't matter to me. I know what's going on. I can tell what's going on. You know, hockey, I can listen to in French or any language. I can listen to baseball in Spanish.
Right.
It's easy. So I love listening to these Dominican games, like Licey against Aguilas. And all these, you know, a lot of Jays guys, a lot of former Jays players and current Jays guys that play down there. I was watching Licey the other day. Hanley Ramirez is on that team. Wow. Esmiel Rogers is pitching. Emilio Bonifacio is on that team. Jorge Bonifacio. So I love watching baseball, and the Dominican Winter League is fun to watch. It's great. Speaking of baseball, Larry Walker is in his final year of eligibility for the Baseball Hall of Fame, and a lot of high-profile media folks, like Keith Olbermann, are pushing for his induction, and rightly so, because like a lot of folks have gone, oh, Larry Walker, he played in Colorado. They got the thin air. Larry Walker played 31% of his games in Colorado. That's it. All right? And his OPS and all the other numbers on the road are just as good, if not better, than they were in Colorado. So I don't want to hear this bullshit. Oh, he played in Colorado. It's got the thin air. Stop it. The guy's a hell of a ball player. Hell of a ball player.
Well, there was quite a movement for Tim Raines to get in.
Like, there was.
This could be that.
Yeah.
And the numbers state that he should be in the hall.
Numbers don't lie. Exactly right. Derek Jeter, by the way, is in his first year of eligibility. He's a lock. He's in. But after that, nothing. Nobody special. No one that deserves to go in on the first ballot. And then you've got these other holdovers like Curt Schilling, Barry Bonds, Roger Clemens. Those two likely won't get in. Curt Schilling probably will. He garnered over 60% of the vote last year. Those four guys, Schilling, Bonds, Roger Clemens, and Larry Walker, all garnered more than 50% of the votes last year. You need 75% of the votes by the Baseball Writers Association of America to gain induction. So a lot of people are lobbying heavily for Larry Walker, who has better numbers than many of the current Hall of Famers, does not get the respect because of those years he played in Colorado and probably Montreal too. Montreal, that's in Canada. We don't know about that. And it's all bullshit because, like I said, 31% of his games only were played in Denver. All told, Larry Walker had a career WAR, that's wins above replacement, of 72.7. He won 3 batting titles, 7 Gold Glove Awards for defense, 5 All-Star appearances, an MVP award, 3 Silver Slugger Awards, and is a member of the 30-30 Club, having hit 49 homers and stolen 33 bases in 1997 when he won the MVP. If you have a vote or you know someone that does, you must urge them because this is his final year of eligibility. If he doesn't get in this year, he goes back into the Veterans Committee, right? And the Veterans Committee are, you know, they go over and eventually he would probably get in the Veterans Committee, but he really should get in on the active player, or not the active, but the player, like, you know, in your 10 years of eligibility. This is last year of eligibility. Come on.
Where can I see a list of all the eligible voters? I might know some of them.
The eligible voters?
Yeah.
I'm not sure there is a list of the eligible voters. It's a good question. Maybe if you went to
I will use my great influence.
G-O-O-G-L-E and you typed in list of eligible voters.
Thank you.
But the Baseball Writers Association of America has many. There's hundreds and hundreds
of guys. I almost dropped a thanks boomer on you.
What? Oh, an okay boomer?
An okay boomer, right. So like I got to get it right. I almost dropped one on you.
Larry Walker is from Maple Ridge, B.C. And if you weren't going to vote him into the Hall of Fame based on his numbers, at least vote him in on his Twitter handle. His Twitter handle is Canadian Moose Lips 33. CDN Moose Lips 33.
Nice.
Now, that's a fantastic handle. And that's probably a good way to just wrap up edition number 155 of Hebsy on Sports. Thanks to Toronto Mike for production and inspiration. Thanks to our wonderful sponsor, JerseyFactory.com. Get your team outfitted in the finest uniforms and sporting apparel. Customized, personalized. Play like a pro, look like a pro. Go to JerseyFactory.com. Now, I'm going off the grid for a week or so, but a reminder to pick up my book, The Greatest Athlete You've Never Heard Of. Makes a great Christmas gift for the sports lover in your family. It's about George Washington Orton, a Canadian yet, and the first Canadian to win an Olympic gold medal, but they thought he was an American, maybe because of his name. He was also the man who came up with the idea of numbering football players back in 1914. Who is that guy? I don't know. Maybe we should put a number on him. Brilliant idea. He also introduced the sport of hockey to the city of Philadelphia and other parts of the United States, but he never talked about his own accomplishments. I decided to write a book about him. I hope you'll buy it. It's available through Amazon or Indigo or wherever fine books are sold.
Buy it straight from Hebsy and he'll sign the thing.
There you go. I'll sign
which is the way to go here.
Thanks for allowing us into your headspace. Have a wonderful, wonderful day and week or so. I'm back with another episode in, I don't know, like 9 days?
Sounds right.
Depending
to me.
On when I get back from wherever I'm going.
Wherever, by the way, I don't even know where Hebsy's going.
Well, here's the thing. I don't know either because I wanted to do this, Mike. I wanted to go to the airport, bags packed, and just pick a place to
go. Well, don't go to Winnipeg or anything.
No, I want to and I pick a place to go. So that's what I'm going to do. I'm
going
to do it. I'm going to go and I'm just going to look and go, you know what? I think I'd like to go there. And that's what I'm going to do. And I'll tell you all about it when I get back. So thanks for listening. Thanks for allowing us into your headspace. Until then, so long for now.